Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. To celebrate this glorious day, please get up and speak to the folks that are sitting next to you, across the aisle, in front of you, or behind you, whether you know them or not. Now let us continue our worship as we sing our hymn of preparation. As is often true of Holy Week, this is going to be a very busy week in the life of Main Street Church. In order to make sure that I get all of the announcements in, call your attention to everything, would you please turn to the back of your bulletin and look at your calendar? There's several very important deadlines. The first one is that today is the deadline for two very significant events. One is the deadline for the Easter lilies. It is also the deadline for a Maundy Thursday service reservation that you need to make certain that you put it on the back of the music information, the insert back there. And you need to make a reservation because if you've been reading the material in the newsletter, we're going to have a Maundy Thursday service that is similar to commemorates the Last Supper. And I was very pleased that I was able to attend the service last year, and it was truly one of the most memorable worship experiences I think I've ever had. And if you miss this, you are missing an absolutely marvelous opportunity for your own spiritual growth and insight. I cannot urge you enough to make an effort to get there. In the newsletter this week, it also suggested that if you had potted plants or wooden bowls or a few other things that you could let the church borrow for the service on Thursday night, they would greatly appreciate your willingness to loan it to them for Thursday night. Another very important deadline is today. Tonight, you need to get in touch with Zella Williams if you would like to be on the trip that we're taking. The Main Streeters are going to Bob Jones to the Living Gallery, and it is a most moving experience of art and spiritual worship. I just talked with Ann on the way out the door, and she said that they're opening it up. They're not going to limit it just to Main Streeters, but you need to get in touch with Zella tonight because the tickets will be ordered first thing in the morning in order for us to have enough seats for everybody, and tickets are $11 each. Now, please look at your calendar. On Monday, you want to make note that the prayer labyrinth is going to be open, and that is another important worship experience that you may have this week. You've been reading about it. I'm not going to take up very valuable time telling you, but that too can be a meaningful experience for your Holy Week worship. And, of course, the UMW meeting and dinner at night at the Fellowship Hall, as well as the Finance Stewardship Committee meeting. On Tuesday, you've got the Men's Club and their dinner meeting. Please make a note of that. Wednesday, there will be no Hot Wednesday service with the meal, but we will have the Lenten service. Note that that's going to be at St. Mark Church. And you will note that on Thursday night, you've got the Maundy Thursday worship service that I just mentioned. Friday at 12 noon, we will be having a Good Friday worship service. And then on Saturday will be the planting and weeding of the garden for the community garden. Let me encourage you to keep your calendar in front of you. Don't forget to make your reservations for the Maundy Thursday service. And now let us continue our worship service as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
All who are able, please stand and join this morning's call to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the gate of the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Save us, we beg you, O Lord. The Lord is God, and God has given us light.
Praise God.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
Please join with me in the prayer of confession. In the bold print, I'll read the light. The Lord has need of us. The Lord asks us to come to the mercy seat and bring our wounded hearts, our anguish, to lay our burdens before God that we may arise in wholeness and joy to follow Christ. Let us confess our sins. Save us, O God, for we are surrounded by danger and we live in death's shadow. Forgive us when we fail to stand with the suffering, when fear causes us to close our eyes to wrongdoing, when weakness makes us turn back from following you. Lift us up to the hope and healing of the cross. Make us bearers of the love of Jesus. Pour out the world in his name. Amen. Let us have a moment of silence as we reflect upon our own sinfulness and pray for God's forgiveness. God does not forsake us. In times of terror and suffering, we are not alone. In Christ, we are strengthened as we watch and pray. We receive courage to love in the face of ridicule and to act for truth amid the oppressive forces of deceit. Love is at the heart of creation, bringing us to new beginnings, to resurrection life in all its fullness. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to thy Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, 'tis now and ever shall be, world
The gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Please stand as we hear Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a coat with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them. He will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a coat, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Here comes the Lord.
Yeah, if you can't preach after that, your wood's wet. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy Lord, as we come to you on this blessed day, a day when we affirm again that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, a king like no other, a king who can ride upon a donkey, a king who has no army, no armament made by man, but a king who looks to the hearts and minds and souls of children, of adolescents, of adults, of senior persons, and speaks to us and says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Holy God, we come on this blessed Sunday to celebrate and to rejoice and to renew our commitment to discipleship, knowing what this coming week symbolizes, knowing what this coming week demands, acknowledging that this coming week speaks of our inability as humans to be dedicated enough, our inability to show our courage in the midst of warming ourselves by the enemy's fire. But a week that never separates us from the love of God. Dear God, I thank you this morning for each one here, the part of the family at Main Street. And not only the family at Main Street, but the family of God, and those who are listening by radio. We thank you, dear God, for them. Our hearts are warmed as we join our strengths together and hear the call afresh from our Master, our Shepherd, to follow Him, knowing that He will lead us into green pastures and still waters. Again, we pray for our extended family serving in other places, those in the ministry, those in the Peace Corps, those in the military, for those in leadership over our church, in missional endeavors, as district superintendents and bishops, as city representatives and congresspersons and elected officials, our president. Holy God, guide us as your church and guide us as your nation into the ways that you would have for us to go. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now. The morning tithing offering. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Holy God, we come to you this morning, giving to you a portion of that which we have been so graciously blessed. We thank you again for the voices that have been lifted up in praise and adoration to you this day, and for our children, and for their families. And we pray, Almighty God, that as we give to your kingdom, that you too will give to us a continual blessing of these who come to lift up their voices and gifts to you. Bless these gifts, O God, and receive them from our hands. And those who had not to give this day or chose not to give, bless them, O God. To all the family of God, we thank you and give you unending praise. In the name of our Father, we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Oh, what a beautiful group. Wow, today is so exciting. I absolutely loved watching your faces waving these palm branches coming in. Can you imagine in Jesus' day when he came in to Jerusalem on that donkey? Can you imagine? Everybody was screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, and they were waving the branches and they were laying them down. Do you remember why they laid them down for Jesus, Bennett? Right. That's right. So they respected him as their king, and they didn't want all that dust to get on them. But also to say, Jesus, we love you. Come into our city. We love you. And they were so excited. And do you know, I saw on TV this morning where in Jerusalem, they are having huge celebrations, remembering that Jesus actually walked on their streets on that donkey. Isn't that awesome? And you know, it's not very often that we get to wave branches and say, Hosanna, woohoo, you know? But every morning in our hearts, we can wake up thinking, you know, it was a great celebration and Jesus knew that the end of the week wasn't going to be so nice. He was going to be, you know, crucified. But he still came. He still came because he loved us so much. And so we should sing Hosanna, even in our hearts. If we don't do it out loud, when we wake up in the morning, think of these palm branches and Jesus walking in and say, Hosanna in the highest. We love you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for coming anyway. You know, even though you knew what was going to happen, thank you for coming anyway. Can everybody say, Hosanna! Hosanna! Woo! Let's say a prayer. Dear God, we love you so much. We know it was hard for you to send your son. But we praise you that he came anyway. And we love you. Thanks for saving us. Amen.
Thank you.
Man, I'm so excited, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Today is the day that we celebrate Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. One of the things that I have, that I understand now about Scripture, is that if I'm not Jewish and it's a Jewish book, sometimes there are certain things that I don't quite grasp. Maybe today is one of them. I understand parties. I understand celebrations. I don't understand a prompt to parade, and yet I'm assuming this is probably what we're speaking about today. A pilgrim is coming into a town, and people are excited that the pilgrim is coming in, and so they have celebrations. This probably was not the only celebration in Jerusalem during this time. Pilgrims would start from faraway places and begin their journey for Passover. And as they would go from one place to the other, people would join together and the crowd would grow. Maybe they were waiting on some pilgrims to come by because to journey together in the larger crowd was security from those that would try to do you harm. Prior to this entry into Jerusalem, Jesus had just been right over the mountain at Bethpage. I remember standing there one time and looking toward Jerusalem. And as I was there, I remember somebody saying, "Look, all Jesus had to do was to go the other direction. Nobody was there to bother him." And you remember the disciples tried to encourage him not to go to Jerusalem. But there Jesus reaffirmed his decision, and he went down the mountainside and through the eastern gate. I remember walking with one of my friends, and he grabbed me by the arm and he said, "Terry, this is it. He actually came this way." And he was all captivated in the moment. As I think about that entrance and those who were journeying with him, I think about the fickleness of crowds. My dad used to always warn me, "Son, be careful what you do in a crowd. You'll do things in a crowd that you wouldn't do when you're by yourself. Watch what you do in a crowd." And that gave me guidance all my life. And as I think about crowds, and I think about stadiums full of people, and I think about those on Friday that will say, "Yay, yay," and those that will say on Saturday, "Boo, get rid of the bum, put him on the bench." Those of you that know sports know a little bit of what I'm talking about. Crowds are fickle. Jesus was communicating a message to us on this journey into Jerusalem. People were ready to make him king. We know that. All he had to do was defeat the entire Roman Empire. That's what they wanted. And Jesus again is communicating, look, my kingdom is not of this world. See, I have no army. I have no weapons. I'm riding on a donkey, not some type of steed that would communicate the power of an emperor as it tromped and strutted. And you have seen those in movies, I'm sure, as the king comes in and all of his pomp and circumstance. It's quite a day. It was quite a time. This same crowd, I guess, is made up of those who have been healed, been touched by Jesus, maybe by some of the children that have sat on his lap. Can you imagine? Can you imagine sitting on the lap of Jesus? Can you imagine looking into those eyes? Can you imagine hearing those tender words? I will, be thou clean. This was the same Jesus that's there, and there are others that are watching, and they are trying to figure out, how can we get to him? If Jesus had a bodyguards, they weren't that well trained. Put it into a contemporary setting and they would have cameras and commentators asking him, well, are you king of the Jews? There would be all these bodyguards around him to protect him. I remember as a young military person, I went on to the air base there at Charleston. And there at the end of the revetment, right there is before you go on to the flight line, was a huge, huge plane. Across the fuselage, it had written, the United States of America, and a massive flag of Old Glory painted on the vertical stabilizer. I had been taught that any time you see a plane that has the United States of America across the fuselage, that's a VIP. If it has red, white, and blue painted across where the engine is, that's a plane that carries VIPs. I said, wow, look at that. I went inside the wing building and I said, who in the world is that parked out at the end of the revetment? They said, oh, the president is here. Now, this demanded my attention. As the day wore on, I was informed that the president was going to be arriving, and so I looked out onto where the plane was, and here were these cars flying, driving with flags flying off of the end of their fenders on the bumpers, and the lights from the security forces was flashing. People grabbing and running out the door. I said, where are you going? Oh, I've been invited to go out and shake hands with the president. It didn't matter if they were Democrat or Republican. You know, I started to ask, well, which way did you vote? But they were just captivated in the moment. And I watched as the president walked up the steps and he turned to the crowd and he did that presidential wave. You know what it is. You've seen it. I mean to tell you, he looked presidential. I mean, it was something. Jesus didn't look presidential. Jesus looked humble. Jesus was something else. He was the one that said, "Let the children come to me." He was the one that said, "My kingdom's not of this world." He's the one that came to this world to redeem sinners like you and me. We didn't vote for him. He voted for us. And this crowd, they are ready to make him king. Britt Blair writes, Woodrow Wilson was president. It was after World War I. He was a phenomenal Messiah-type figure in our world. Wherever he went, people felt like he was the answer. The war had been fought and won to end all wars. The world was going to know peace, and he was endeavoring to establish the League of Nations. A little girl had been told by her mother that they were not going to have any Christmas gifts at Christmas this year because of the economic stresses of what the war had done, and the little girl said, "Oh yes, we will, Mother. Woodrow Wilson's coming to our country. He'll fix it." When in about a year's time, his League of Nations concept fell apart, criticism began to mount so severely that his health began to deteriorate. In the next election, his party lost. It's my understanding he was defeated. His presidency was over. And we stand here this Sunday and we think about this crowd, knowing that from here Jesus goes into the temple and he says, "You have made my house a den of thieves and robbers." We are here today thinking about what Christ calls us as his body, the church, to be. We join with those in these great celebrations that we have proclaimed already this day. But a week's coming. When all of the disciples are going to flee. As we face this week, the question is, now what? Now what are you going to do about this Jesus? Are you going to flee during this coming week as they did? Are you going to turn your back during this coming year? Are you going to use this week as a time of renewed commitment and dedication? Lord, I know what happened. Forgive me. Give me strength. Give me courage to embrace my humanness and to accept your power as it strengthens me and touches me and touches us to be your body, to be your church right here, right now. Amen. Number 159, Lift Up the Cross.
Please remain standing as I give you an update on Consecration Sunday. I think as we enter Holy Week, we have a lot to celebrate here. There's no doubt the Lord is present and working at Main Street. To date, approximately 60 have pledged that have not pledged in the past couple years. So it's an outstanding response with new people pledging. However, we still have about 60 pledge cards that have not been returned from individuals who have pledged in the past. We'd ask that you continue to pray for these individuals and these families as they make this decision. And we plan to publish in this week's newsletter the final results. But again, continue to pray for Main Street Methodist and pray for those who are in prayer for consideration of pledging. Thank you.
There's a responsive benediction printed in your bulletin. Let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, humbling himself to death on the cross. The peace of Christ go with you.
And also with you.
Amen.